say something.
I just wanted to say goodbye for a while. I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Birmingham. I'm going to be in the blind rehab program.
Yay, that's
what they're telling me. I think there's a chance that when they get me up there, they'll just check me into the psych ward. This could be goodbye.
We'll break you out.
Yeah.
Boy flew over the cuckoo's nest.
I come to church here, exactly. But it's a great opportunity, and God has blessed me in so many ways. And my church family means more to me than, as much to me as anything means to me. And I love all of you, and I know that you love me. And you've helped me so much. I've gone through this dramatic change in life. And I've got this big smile on my face, and I'm happier than I've ever been before. And I have a better relationship with God. And it has a lot to do with coming here and the vibe that I feel here. Yesterday, I watched a video by a woman named Vera Jones. Her 12-year-old son went blind.
Yeah.
And you should listen to this. And she said something. She said, "You can lose your sight, but you never have to lose your vision."
Yeah.
And as dark as my sight gets, I'll always have this beautiful vision right here.
Yeah.
That makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
So I think we've had our sermon today, huh? Oh, man.
I know people that have done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to Birmingham and trick them, help.
Good. The talk today is the love that lives within. We did today I dropped my mask so that the love that lives within will be seen. I'm at peace because my connection with the infinite is no longer covered over. And in this befitting with Halloween and mask and all that, I thought that's kind of cool that we get to talk about that. And I believe you have a mask here, or one of y'all do. So remember that. I forgot to bring one in case. But we have two masks. Yay, okay. So we'll do them. That's creepy. We'll do a little recap of last Sunday to kind of give us the same foundation what we're going to talk about today. And I hope today's talk is very, very meaningful to me because I'm going to give y'all a piece of me that I have not shared with anybody. And it is befitting with what we're talking about. So I hope it means a great deal to you this time next year when we're going to be putting masks on, so to speak. Last week we talked about perfect relationships, remember? And I went over what perfect really means. The original meaning was it becomes is complete, all-inclusive. Everything, when you say something's perfect, it's all a part of the whole. There's no good or bad. There's no judgment to it. It's just everything, all there is. And then we talked about having a perfect relationship will always have a connection with somebody else or more. That's a part of having a perfect relationship, is two or more people. And this is where I wanted to bring, I brought my picture, my painting, and we talked about it last week. It's about 4 feet by 5 feet. And this was divinely inspired to me. And what it talks about is, I'll read it. When you have what you love, you have everything you need. Now, after this talk, we're going to read it again and see if it has a different meaning. Okay? So here's one thing that Mr. Holmes said. You will always be connected to something. You'll either call it blessed or you'll call it cursed. Some people, remember the hand I said, it'll have either one side or the other side, good or bad, whatever. But that's the way it is with us. And in a perfect way, there is no right, front or back, whatever. It just all is. Very interesting. You, Y-O-U, will be the thing that determines what will show up in your life according to your thoughts mentally. We talked about how you mentally curse people or mentally love people. You don't even have to say it. It's thinking it. And that's what I want us to talk about some today, a little bit. Did any of you do this project this week? Think mentally and see how the world showed up for you? Did you have any progress with it?
It had to do with cars, thinking about a color.
It's really thinking, instead of saying, that stupid person, he didn't know what he was doing, saying, that person tried the best they could. I send him good thoughts about, that's what I'm talking about. Mentally saying it rather than cursing it.
Yeah, like if somebody tries to cut you off in traffic, or my thing usually is, wow, we got some place to be. Something's going on, you know, because.
Mm-hmm. But you're that's exactly right. You're cursing the situation. You're turning around,
making
it. I'm
not in the car with that person. I don't know what's going on.
Right,
you
know, right.
They could be running from the popo for all I know, you know.
I know it works for me because I tried it last week and I saw things to happen to me, and that's not a coincidence. It's just not. So what we talked about again too was being the candle. Remember, light, we are the candle, and it's up to us to light the darkness, right? He said, Holmes said, you can either light the candle or stay in the dark. It's up to you. It's your ship. You get to say. I know when somebody sends light to me, it feels good. And it allows me to be something different. This brings me to the subject of the talk today, the love that lives within. Have you ever really thought about that? The love that lives within. Of Course in Miracles talks about it all the time. We are love. That's who we are. That's all that we are. I call it our divine default. We can't help it. It's either love or lack of it. There's no love. It's just lack of it. And that's determined by how we think, what we say, the opportunities we take. Holmes said this, and I kind of wondered, that's a weird way to put this, but he says it's like this. Holmes always talked about how love has to express itself. You remember that? I know Reverend Glenda's talked about that. Love has to express itself. And I'm going, what is that? Well, it's talking about us. The love inside us, this divine thing, is us, really. It's there for us. It is the divine potential. It is power beyond we ever knew. And it's right there for us at all times. All the times. There's a story that I recall about a lady going in to visit her best friend, and I won't get into the details of it, but she goes to the hospital, goes through the door, and sees that there's some wounds festering up on it. And she looks and goes, and she goes into the bathroom and gets some rags and things, and then just starts cleaning it, thinks nothing of it, just starts cleaning, and doesn't think anything. And about that time, somebody walks in and they go, oh my gosh, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And she turns around, she says, neither would I. And that's what we're going to talk about. That part of us that does the right thing, that steps into action, doesn't think anything, just does it, that calls on that part of what real love is, and just does it. I'm sure you've done it, every one of us. You can't be alive and not have the opportunities or the choices, whatever you want to call them, to show love. Your actions unmask you and reveal whether love is either overflowing or whether it isn't. You know, you don't have to be young or old or rich or poor or whatever. We all will have these choices. We all will. If you have families, you know how it is. There's not a grandmother up here or a parent that knows how this is. And it's reaching down deep and not knowing what to do or how to do it, but doing it anyway. You've been there. I'm sure you have. And you don't even know how you could have done it. You don't even know where it came from. Well, it comes from this divine potential called love within that does it. Kind of takes over you sometimes too, and you don't realize until it's over and you go, where in the world did that come from? How did I do that? What in the world? I had no idea that was in me. And why in the world did I have to do that? I that was never a choice for me, but you do it anyway. You all know what I'm talking about. I think sometimes, we'll talk about this later, I think that's the divine showing us how to love in a greater way. We are learning new expressions or new facets of love we have never experienced before, and it makes us the better. It may not be fun. It may be scary. But we have a different flavor in life once we go through it, if you will. I've often thought about this, about sickness or injustice or people that are mean, all kinds of things that hurt us inside. Could that be Spirit's way of showing us how to love or giving us opportunities to practice it? And I can remember the times that I walked away and didn't. And I can remember the times when I did. And the times that I did, it happened like it was yesterday. I don't forget it. I don't forget it. And it made me the better. Taking off our mask. Have you ever thought about what that means? Oops, excuse me. Where was that saying that we, when we take off a mask, what is that saying actually? Let me read it. I drop my mask. I drop my mask so that the love that lives within will be seen. Okay, so dropping a mask might look like I choose to do what I got to do, and I'm not going to sit here and think about it. I'm going to do the right thing, or God, please help me do what needs to be done in spite of what's going on, in spite of my judgments or in spite of whatever. Help me. When we draw from this divine part within us, to me it's an invitation. It's an invitation to walk with the divine. And sometimes you don't know where you're going. You may not even know the next second what to do. I've been called to that many times. But the greatest one I'm going to tell you today is something that is going to be hard to share for me. But I want you to get in my world and understand this, to me, is where Spirit draws you to it. And where we let go and let God. Amazing things can happen. But remember, if you hear, you know how I always say, if y'all remember one thing in this sermon, remember, I'm famous for this. Remember, you want to ask. I need you. Spirit, I need you to help me with this. I've learned when I do that, I always get the right answers. It may not be what I absolutely thought would happen or what it would, but it, I know it's the right thing. What we call perfect relationships, it's perfect relationship. And I've also found out that when we're in fear, we are apt more to ask because we don't know what to do. And we know that there, that part in us knows what to do. Agreed? Ask. So my story that I want to talk about is about something that happened to me that I never, ever dreamed would ever happen. And it's between my daddy and me. He was 87 years old. He was on his third heart, I guess, operation. And even to this day, why in the world would he do that at 87? But he did. And give you a little story. I'm an only child, and I'm also adopted. So my parents and I were very, very close. And I respected them and adored them to this day, always will. And he is one man. I guess you could call him the love of my life, but he was. And he never raised his voice to me in 87 years, or the time that I knew him, the 50 years that I knew him. And we had a wonderful relationship. So this particular incident, I never dreamed it happened. And this is the kind of incidences I'm telling you, and it will happen to y'all. Not what I'm talking about, but you'll draw on something you don't know you had. But anyway, the doctors came in and said his operation was not a success. He has not regained consciousness, and quite frankly, we don't think he'll wake up from this, but we'll give him the whatever the time that they do. I can't even remember that part. But clearly, he didn't wake up. So one of the doctors came in, the surgeons came in and said, my mother and I were there in the room and said that, you know, it's, you can feel free now if y'all would like to disconnect. You know, we're saying he's not going to come back. But that's up to you. Because he has a living will, da-da-da. And my mother was always taken care of. If Daddy didn't take care of her, I did. And here again, my daddy's not here to make the decisions. And the first thing my mother does is look at me. Well, what do we do? Well, I'm thinking, no, you tell me. But I didn't say anything. She said, listen, you've got to handle this. I can't handle this. I said, what? I can't do this. And she said, you have to. I can't do this. I just can't. And so I vividly remember God, and this was before New Thought, but as a Baptist, we're taught you pray to God, and that's exactly what I did. I don't know what to do. You got to help me. All of a sudden, I had this peace about me, and I knew what to do. And there was my poor, and she was 87 too, sitting in the room. I said, Mama, let's go to the chapel. And we all went to the chapel, and we sat there. And I said, what would you like to do? And she said, oh, no, I don't want him to suffer, you know, da-da-da, whatever. I said, she said, I want you to make the decision, Lisa. I trust you to do it. I'm going, I don't want to make this decision. This is too much for me. I'm saying it to myself. I would never put her in a precarious situation. So I said, I'm going to handle it, Mama. You just stay here. I'm going to take care of things. So I went back to the room and told the nurses what I had decided to do. And it was to pull the plug, but I wanted to go in the room where he was. And so I did. And they called one of the doctors, and everything was taken care of. I don't know what happened, but I was in that room where the respirator was, and I sat down and held his hand. And I thought, this is the hand that used to hold my hand. He was the strong one. And I'm in this position now. And so I thought, I'm going to tell Daddy everything I should have told him or what I could have told him. And I thought, you know what, he knows everything. But I did, and I won't go into detail what we talked about. But I just was so dreading not hearing that respirator. And finally it did come. And after I'd said what I needed to say, and I knew that he was gone, I patted his hand, gave him a kiss, and said, I've got to go to my mother now. And I went back to the chapel, and she's sitting there. And she said, what did you do? And I said, Daddy's gone. It's all taken care of. And she, of course, started crying. She said, I'm so glad you did that. That was the right thing to do. And I said, it was the right thing to do. And there's a part of me that learned to ask God for something that I didn't know I had. Well, you know what? We do have it because we have that part of God in us. It's always there. It's ready anytime. And it's a power that you and I have no idea how great it is. It truly changed my life. To this day, I can't believe I did what I did. I cannot. I never, ever dreamed I'd have to do something like that. I had to let my mask down. I had to choose. And I thought nothing of it. I thought nothing of it. I just did it. And that's what I think this today's lesson is talking about, is this mask. We don't have to wear masks. We've got a power down deep inside of us that you have no idea what it can do. The love that lives within will express itself. It is greater than you and I, and it's greater than me. It will express through us when we don't know how or what to think, if we allow it. It is the perfect power. It's called love. And it still, to this day, leaves me in awe. I don't understand it. I know it's there, though. There are several principles. You know I like to read them. I don't know them all, but I'll read them. When we realize our oneness with our divine power, we let go. When you strip away all your masks and allow yourself to actually be seen for who you really are, will others see the love that lies within you? When your heart is exposed, are you good with who you are? Or are you still concerned how others will perceive you? Mr. Holmes said, a realization of our oneness with omnipresence brings us peace. Oh, I get it. I didn't know anything about this until a few months ago, and I get it. It sure worked with me. When all masks are dropped, then the love that lives within will be seen, and you will be at peace because your connection with the infinite, I call the infinite the beautiful one. I still to this day, I don't call it God. I say, beautiful one, I need you to do this. Beautiful one, I need this. That is to me what God is, just beautiful. I don't know how to describe it anymore. But your connection with the infinite is no longer covered up. This sweet, beautiful, divine presence within us will take us through the storms of life, and we don't have to fear. We just ask. So, some of us choose to wear masks and hide who we are. Our friends and family may never know the love that lies within until the right time, where we must choose to take off our mask. You can either put them on, because I promise you, somebody needs you. And it may not look like you thought, ever. Or you can take off your mask and show that love that we're made of. So I'm going to read this one more time. I drop my mask so that the love that lives within will be seen. I'm at peace because my connection with the infinite is no longer covered up. Does that have a new meaning to you? Does that have a new meaning to you? Here's what I want you to get. When you love what you have everything you need. Here's what's important. When you love, you have everything. Shall we stand?